We begin today a look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to begin in verse 1. And as we begin in verse 1, let's remember that there's really no break between chapter 4 and chapter 5. Paul is simply continuing to talk about what he's discussed in chapter 4. And that section began in chapter 4, verse 17, where he talks about the Christian walk, that is, the Christian life, Christian behavior. And he said some very specific things that Christians are to avoid as well as to do. He has told Christians not to lie, not to lose their temper, not to steal, not to use bad language, and not to have the wrong attitude toward other people. He has instructed Christians to have the right kind of spirit toward each other, to be kind and merciful and forgiving to each other. So Paul is very specific in this section. So there comes a time in the teaching and the preaching of the gospel where we have to get specific. So many times preachers are so general in their sermons that people really don't feel the force of the teaching of the Word of God. They really don't see the specific application of the Word of God in their lives because the sermons are so general. So these are verses that need to be taught in Bible classes. They need to be studied by people, and they need to be preached from the pulpit as well. So with that in mind, let's see what Paul continues to talk about here in that Christian walk. Let's start in verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Now, that's an illustration from the Old Testament. When an animal sacrifice was made, when that burnt sacrifice or offering was offered to God, it offered up an odor, but that represented how that the act of giving that sacrifice was well-pleasing to God. And so with that illustration, he says that when we live the kind of life that God wants us to live, in that sense, we're offering that up just as Christ did. When Christ gave himself, he gave himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God. Now, the emphasis here is on being children of God. And if we're children of God, then we will walk in love. But what is love? And what kind of love is he talking about? Notice as he explains it here in verse 2. He says, walk in love as Christ also loved us and has given himself for us. Notice the connection. He loved us and he gave. He gave himself. That is what love does. Love is not selfish. Love is giving. And so we're to walk in love and have the same love that Jesus had for us. And that love is what Jesus described in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So notice, love one another as I have loved you. In the same way that I've loved you, you are to love one another. And he says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And remember what John wrote in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, about the extent of that love that we're to have toward each other. He said in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, when the Bible says to walk in love, we don't need to put our own idea or definition to that word love. We need to take that word love as it is explained in the Bible and apply it to our lives. And remember here the contrast also between what he's talking about in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, and what he just mentioned back in chapter 4. Remember in chapter 4, verse 31, that he said to put away bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking, and all malice. Instead of having that kind of frame of mind, he said to walk in love, verse 2. Now, beginning in Ephesians 5, verse 3, he goes into some more details and gives us more specifics about sins that we are to avoid. Notice verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Now let's go back to verse 3 and notice what he says and what he warns about. He warns about three things in verse 3. Fornication, all uncleanness, and covetousness. Now notice, before we look at these specifics, what he says in the last part of verse 3. He said, let it not be once named among you as becomes, that is, as is fitting or appropriate for saints. It is not becoming to a saint to do these things, so don't let it be named once among you. Sometimes people say, well, a little won't hurt, or they say nobody's perfect, or they may make the excuse, well, I don't do this all the time. Paul says, don't let these things be named once among you. Don't let people outside the church, especially in the community, say that this has happened even one time among you. Don't commit this sin of fornication or uncleanness or covetousness even one time. So the first sin that he mentions is the sin of fornication. A lot of the Gentiles thought nothing about this sin. They had no misgivings about it. And plus, their theaters and their art and their conversations encouraged it. And so Paul's day in this regard was not really any different from our time. Paul says to avoid it and don't let it ever be named among you. Then he says, all uncleanness. He's talking about moral uncleanness. He's talking about anything that is filthy or trashy or dirty in a moral way. Anything that a person does that is dirty, that's what he's talking about. So this could be immodest and indecent dress or clothes. It could be dirty language or conversation. It could be pictures or behavior. So he says, you keep yourself away from this. The Bible says, keep yourselves unspotted from the world. The third thing that he mentions is covetousness. Covetousness is greed. It is longing for what others have. This is a sin that is rarely confessed. It is a sin that may be hard to see in yourself also. And the Bible tells us that it is idolatry. That's what he said in verse 5. A covetous man is an idolater. Why? Because he basically loves and worships his money and the things that he owns. So we might look at other cultures and wonder why and how people can fall down before an idol made of stone or made of wood and worship that idol and pray to that idol and think that that idol is going to bless them in their lives. We may think that's strange, and yet there are people that worship their idol in this country by the thousands because their idol is money. Their God is money and the things that money can buy. In verse 4, Paul goes into even more detail, especially here about bad language. Notice what he says in verse 4. He uses the word filthiness. This means something that is low, shameful, indecent, and dishonorable. This especially has to do with the low and the base things of life and how people look before others when they get involved in those kinds of things. So Paul says to avoid that kind of filthy, immoral behavior. And then he says, foolish talking. Now, that word foolish talking is a combination of two words in the original. The first word is the word that we get our word moron from. And that means that this person is a fool. And then the second word is the words of that individual. So this literally means the words of a moron. And we're not talking about the word moron the way that sometimes young people use that word where they're trying to be cute and funny. The word moron comes from a word which is translated fool in the Bible. So we're talking about foolish talking, the talk of a fool, empty, useless talk, empty chatter, talking about earthly things like they're the most important things and the greatest things, telling everything that you know about everybody, telling things that you don't really know. All that is foolish talking. And then he says that we are not to engage in jesting. Now, that is a word in the King James Version that has been misunderstood at times because some people have read that and thought that you can't really have fun, that you can't joke around, that you can't kid anybody. And that's not what this word means. This word jesting in the King James Version is translated in the New King James Version, coarse jesting, and that's the idea. This comes from a word which has to do with dirty jokes, off-colored remarks, as we would call them, suggestive remarks. Paul says, don't ever let these be heard from you. Don't ever talk like that. And again, he's talking to Christian people, and Christian people ought to know better than this, especially today. People who have gone to church, people who have read the Bible, ought to know different. So what Paul is talking about here goes back to what he said in chapter 4, verse 29, when he said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And so that nobody will misunderstand, so that he will thoroughly explain what he means by corrupt communication, he says, I'm talking here in chapter 5, verse 4, about things like filthiness, foolish talking, jesting, that is, dirty jokes and dirty talk. And Paul says these things are not convenient, and that doesn't mean that they're just not in good taste. It simply means that they're not fitting. The word convenient means that they're not fitting. These things have no place in the language of a child of God. They have no place in the Christian life. That's what he means when he says that they are not convenient. But rather, he says, instead of engaging in foolish talking and jesting and filthiness, he said, we ought to engage in the giving of thanks. We ought to be thankful in our lives. We ought to talk in a thankful way. We ought to express appreciation to each other, and we especially ought to thank God in our prayers. So again, what he does is to contrast what we are not to do, the bad behavior, the negative things, with what we should do, the positive things, the righteous things that we ought to do in life. Instead of talking bad, we ought to give thanks in our life, verse 4. Notice that he says in verse 5, for this you know, that no whoremonger, and that means a fornicator, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, and that goes back to verse 3, where he said that we're not to ever let those be named among us as Christians, as saints. He says, no fornicator, no unclean person, and no covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So Paul says to these Christian people, you cannot do these things and be Christians. And that is exactly what he warned the Corinthians about in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. He said, do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And then again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, he got very specific in what he was talking about. He said, be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. He's saying the same thing here in Ephesians 5, verse 5. And so he warns in verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain, that is, empty words. Don't let anybody tell you any different. Don't let any preacher, don't let any religious person tell you that you can do those things and still be saved. Because he says that the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience, verse 6.